The land was stolen, misappropriated. They have taken what no man should own by birth. The land was stolen, fenced off and gated. Now our lords and ladies hunt their favorite game and run hard. No, the German mercenary will slit throats for the king that pays his penny. And don't pray, the future holds the answer, for the land was stolen.
Hello everyone and welcome to today's Roadcast. That opening piece there was a band called the Machine Breakers, and it fits very nicely with not only the theme of today's podcast, but also the upcoming shockumentary, The Great British Mortgage Swindle, which is due for its test screening on the 17th of August at a location to the northeast of Nottingham. Further details on that will be provided during the course of this roadcast. Now, for those that have been paying attention, I'd like to begin by giving an overview of a situation that's developing here in the city commonly known as Nottingham on Wednesday, 2 days from now, July the 23rd at 9 a.m. I'll provide the link at the bottom, but this is about a bank known as the Bradford and Bingley. Bradford and Bingley stole my house off me back in 2010. It's a long and convoluted story, but you'll find the details of it in an article on the pages called The Chronicle of a Void Mortgage. Now, 5 years on from when the bank first brought its unlawful possession claim against me, Tom and his family are under threat similarly from that same bank. The details I won't go into right now. Suffice to say, it's all fraudulent. And this is a man and his family that are threatened with eviction in a home that has been theirs for the last 26 years. The thing that really deflates a lot of people is that Tom and Sue, his wife, actually paid off their mortgage over 25 years. But there was some skullduggery going on by the Bad Fuhrman burglar, who effectively switched what was an endowment mortgage to an interest-only mortgage. And at the end of the period of that void mortgage, which was July 2013, they made a demand for £43,000, claiming, without any substantiation or verification of that amount actually being loaned, that 43 grand was left and they made a demand for it right away. Now, back in 2012, there had been a possession hearing during which a possession claim was rubber stamped, as is often the case, by a judge acting at Nottingham County Court, a man acting as a judge at Nottingham County Court. This was at a time that Tom had been, he was in recovery from an illness, I think it was cancer that he had. And consequently, it was done in a really sort of underhand and cunning way in order to steal the family home. This is actually what's going on. If people haven't woken up to this fact yet, it's high time that they did. The banks are creating fake debt by way of extending lines of credit from people's promises to pay as secured by the mortgage deed and their agreement to enter into a mortgage. Remember that as a matter of accounting fact, each and every man who takes out a loan with a bank or enters into a mortgage agreement is the creditor of the bank. Now, there's all kinds of shenanigans going on, notwithstanding that fact, which involve the securitisation of millions of mortgages, which are then pooled into what we call mortgage-backed securities and sold off to the highest bidder. And now a lot of the people that are investing in these mortgage-backed securities are big corporations, trusts, entities like the Church of England, and as well individual investors. But effectively all they're doing is buying into a guaranteed income stream, which is the mortgage payments. Which means, of course, that the bank has effectively sold on the mortgage to another entity. So when, as is the case with Tom and me, when he brought the claim against him, there's a reasonable chance that like thousands, if not millions of others, they were misrepresenting the facts because they were no longer the holder of the alleged mortgage. They were being sold on. So they're fronting the claim on behalf of those investors who were bought into the pooled mortgage-backed securities. In effect, it's just one great big huge paper castle that's fraudulent at every turn. The biggest lie being, and it all stems from this in my view, the biggest lie being that the individual is somehow the debtor of the bank. There's a bait and switch that takes place under the guidance of whoever's acting as the conveyancing solicitor. On top of that, we have the substantial issue of the mortgage being invalid due to the fact that it does not comply with the statutory law of mortgages, specifically sections 1 and 2 of the Law of Property Act 1989. This was created, formulated by the Law Society, along the reasonable grounds that for any sale or disposition of an interest in land to take place, it's such an important deal or transaction that it must be in writing, it must be signed by, there must be a contract or an agreement, remember agreement and contract are synonymous, that is signed by both parties to the agreement. It's logical and it makes sense. Yeah, and this is one key aspect of the Great British Mortgage Scheme. In Britain, since 1989, it would appear there are very, very few, if any, mortgages that comply with the terms of the 1989 Royal Property Miscellaneous Provision Act. It's a huge scandal. It's looming large, this swindle. The Great British Mortgage Swindle is, I'm rapidly coming to the conclusion, the one issue of our times that's going to, I mean, there are many issues that we need to be dealing with, but this is the one issue that we can all unite upon, no matter what our perspectives, no matter where we're from. It's the issue of shelter. Each and every one of us requires shelter whilst we're on this planet. It's your natural right. You know, and if you think about it, man is the only creature on this planet that has to pay for the privilege of being here. Blackbirds, crows, pigeons, rats in the sewer do not have to pay rent or fake mortgage payments. And that may sound a little trite, but it illustrates the point. You can begin to see how the entire planet is operating under the one hand, the one hand. And the mortgage swindle is nefarious is the word I would use, but it's an absolutely, some may say it's ingenious in terms of the number of levels at which the swindle is operating and how that effectively turns the creditor of the bank into an indentured slave. I've touched on this before. Remember, some people are paying in excess of 50% of their monthly income in order to keep a roof over their heads. And it's all grossly inflated because, you know, rents never seem to go down. Mortgages, they're threatening to put up the interest rates on the mortgages. So, you know, they can manipulate all through the interest rates, squeezing people here and there. And remember, it's been taken out of the retail price index. So this level of inflation, it's this hyperinflation that's occurred under mortgages and rents, it's obvious what's going on, but in terms of the official figures that are released showing rates of inflation, it's not included in that, it's hidden. So everything is over inflated, house prices have increased beyond what people, well, you know, beyond reason. So effectively, huge swathes of people are priced out from entering into these mortgages. But right now, I would say that's not necessarily a bad thing, because the banks are clearly misrepresenting what's going on by not disclosing to you that you are the creditor of the bank, and that when you sign the mortgage deed, you've provided them with a valuable security. That's fraud by omission. Because if you're going to enter into a contract with someone, you need to know that everything is included in that contract. And this is another aspect of the swindle. If you sign a mortgage deed, and your solicitor instructs you to sign it, have a witness, but whatever you do, don't date it. That mortgage deed is incomplete at the moment you sign it. The solicitor subsequently enters in the date, quite often in his own hand. That is an act of forgery, because the document, when you sign it, has to be complete. Otherwise, how can it be an effective legal document? If terms and conditions can be added subsequent to the individual signing it, and if the date can be added subsequent to it being signed, and again, I go into the reason why that's happening in the website, on the website. In fact, I've done a podcast on it. I'll put the link at the end of the show notes, the episode notes. The point being that the mortgage deed, any deed that you sign, has to be complete in and of itself at the moment of signing. Extra details cannot be added thereafter. And that includes, of course, the date. I didn't sign the mortgage on the deed of mortgage on the date that is there on the mortgage document. The solicitor entered it in at a later point. Now, the solicitors, those who worked in the conveyancing trade, I'm going to be touching on this subject again later, are all complicit in this, because they are engaged in what they will say is common practice. Oh, well, that's how I was told to do it. That's what my boss said. That's how it works. But it makes a mockery of the law when this is going on. And this, if you haven't got it yet, this is a swindle. This is a duplicity that's happening on a daily basis. Nottingham County Court right now is issuing 250 to 300 possession orders per week. So we're looking in excess of 1,000 a month. 1,000 plus people in Nottingham, and that includes families, of course, are being evicted as a result of these fraudulent possession claims that are being made on behalf of these fake banks. The Bradford and Bingley is a particularly pernicious example of what's going on here, because along with Northern Rock, both of which were bailed out to the tune of, I think, £85 billion back in 2008, they were subsequently taken over by a government-formed organisation known as UKAR, that's the United Kingdom Assets Resolution. And if you go on their website, you'll see that their aim is to wind down the mortgage books. We'll take the Bradford and Bingley as an example. When that went belly up, part of it, the profitable part, which was all the deposits and the current accounts, was siphoned off to Santander. The mortgage books, such as they are, were taken over by UKAR. And surprise, surprise, the CEO of the Bradford and Bingley was appointed as the CEO of UKAR. Now, on the UKAR homepage, it states quite clearly that their aim is to wind down the mortgage books. That actually means what is going on is that if someone falls into default on a mortgage, within 90 days, the bank can move in and make a claim on the house. I say they can do that, that's what they are doing. In reality, they have no valid claim. It's all fake. Because remember, they're more often not, they're fronting the claim for and on behalf of those investors in the mortgage-backed securities which are being sold on. There is no debt. Anyone tells you that you are as much as a farthing to the bank is a liar. So, with that in mind, we can see what's going on. The Bradford and Bingley initiated these claims, as they had done against Tom's house, in order to liquidate the asset, in order they want to sell it as quickly as they can to get the money from that. It's not only a form of genocide, as I've articulated before, it's a wealth grab. And it's all done over these fake, phony mortgages. This is the Great British Mortgage Swindle in its essence. People being thrown out onto the streets as a result of genocidal actions being perpetrated through financial fraud. The financial fraud, in essence, is the portrayal of each of those individuals as debtors to the bank. No county court ever asked the bank to verify the debt. When the bank brought a claim against me, all they provided was a photocopy of numerous pages of statements showing that I had indeed paid the bank some £68,000 over the 14 years of the void mortgage. In other words, because they'd only lent me they'd only extended credit to the value of £34,000, I'd effectively paid them back twice. So how can they go to the bank and then claim that money? How can they go to the court, in reality, and claim that money's a rogue? And how can they prove that I'm in debt to them when they don't show the full both sides of the balance sheet? Because remember, a mortgage deed is an asset to the bank, and it is recorded as such by the accountants working for the bank as an asset, and it has to be shown in its annual report. Now, just think about that for a minute, and you'll see that it is a misrepresentation. The fraud is encapsulated in that, because not only are they misrepresenting the facts, they're also leaving things out, deliberately omitting the fact that the mortgagor is the creditor of the bank, and that the debt, the alleged debt, has effectively been created through the interest that's been added to what they're calling a loan, but no loan ever took place. There's no evidence of a loan having taken place. All we have is an extension of credit. And people are being duped by this, because of course, bricks and mortar has a reality that is palpable to each and every one of us. Credit does not. Especially when that credit is created on the back of an instrument that you are tricked into gifting the bank by the conveyance and solicitor. So this is what's going on with Tom. The bank are attempting to take the house as a form, in a way, of liquidating it. Liquidating what they believe, they earnestly believe, is an asset. And this is the whole purpose of UCAR. Its modus operandi is to do exactly that. Make a false possession claim. Get the guaranteed possession order from the district judge who rubber stamps it, and then get the bailiffs to move in and seize the house. A lot of people give in, of course. But I suspect not so many would give in if you truly knew what was going on. In other words, what the mechanics are behind the creation of the loan, the fake loan. So what I'm attempting to do here is to put it in, encapsulate in that overview, but also remind people of the significance of what Tom is creating here. Tom and his family have been working hard to spread the information. Tom's recorded a couple of YouTube videos. They've also created through the social media, Twitter memes, and a special Facebook page, which they'll ask out something like 1,400 members. Now, this has really captured the hearts and the imaginations of many people across Britain. So on Wednesday, we're facing a situation where there's going to be a lot of people travelling from all corners of the British Isles in support of Tom. One of the characters that seems to be the poster boy right now for the criminal element that's working in the county courts and in the high courts up and down these lines as bailiffs, Debbie Perez is a danger to the people of Nottingham. He is a criminal who has been engaging in genocidal acts. He must have committed thousands of these genocidal acts since he left his job as a miner and took up the King's Shilling, if you like. That song by the Machine Breakers, by the way, is is going to be the theme tune for the Great British Mortgage Scandal shockumentary. And it came to me quite by chance, by happy chance. One of the things I love about it is, first of all, the Machine Breakers is obviously a nod and a wink to the Luddites, to those brave men who stood up in the face of tyranny when they were facing the bleak prospects of being made redundant from their jobs as croppers and finishers in the mills. The cotton and woolen mills of Nottingham through Derbyshire to Manchester, Bolton, other parts of Lancashire and through West Yorkshire, particularly Huddersfield. So, you know, that resonates with me. But the song itself is almost perfect for the subject matter that we're dealing with here. And I think it resonates so profoundly because there's a passion in those lyrics. And he talks in there about the land was stolen and misappropriated, and how the German mercenary came and slit throats for the king, which of course is what was going on after 1066. So David Koresh, you might say, is a traitor, given that he's a native. He's native to these lands, and he's effectively acting as a mercenary following on behalf of the Crown interest, the Crown House of Rothschild interest, which in this case is manifesting as the Bad King of England. But it's just a front, remember, it's a front. UKAR is a government organisation. They've appointed Richard Banks, the CEO of the Bad King of England, as its CEO, and his job, along with Richard Pym, is to basically steal the properties back, force people into homelessness. It's an act of genocide, and it fits in with Agenda 21 and the Georgian Guidestones, insofar as there's a culling going on of the people of this world. And I know some people have listened to this and will think, well, that's just fucking madness, but to believe that. And I would have taken the same stance myself only a few years ago. But when you look into the facts of that, and you see what's going on all around you, then it becomes palpable that something is going on and there is a clear attempt to wipe us out. So this is why I'm saying that I'm flagging this up as an event. If you're in Nottingham, then please come along. The address is 20. I'll put the address up at the end of the episode now. But we're going to be, you know, we'll see how it unfolds on Wednesday. The plan is for it to be peaceful, okay? There'll be people there who've never been to an eviction before, but there's going to be a hardcore of us, older heads, who have experienced this on numerous occasions now. And that's why I just want to make it clear to anyone who's listening and thinking of coming along that your presence is welcome. We stand shoulder to shoulder in the face of the tyranny, but we stand peacefully. The only ones who need to be engaging in any meaningful discussion with the bailiffs or any attending police officers, or any agents from the bank, or those who've got direct experience of these situations, and or first-hand knowledge of the facts. One of the facts, of course, is that bailiffs try to reduce their people's houses using fraudulent documentation. The fraudulent documentation is the warrant for eviction. There's attached to that an EX96, which is another form that has to be signed if violence is to be sanctioned. Violence can be against individuals or it can be against property. Someone using a battering ram, as happened to me by the police in Nottinghamshire only 3 years ago, to break down your door is an act of violence. Even though the copper may not have lifted his finger against you, it is an act of violence. The forced entry into the house without a warrant. It's a civil matter. The police cannot get involved. Yeah, such are the levels of mind control and ignorance that they're operating under, that sometimes it can get, although it seems to be reducing, as you'd expect, as the information and the truth comes out, it seems to be reducing a little bit in that they don't seem to be wanting to get as involved as they have been in the past, which is good news. What I'm saying is, anyone there on Wednesday, please come along and film it. We can film it from as many different angles as possible. But if you're expecting it to kick off, or someone who comes along as an agent provocateur, then they must understand that if they are behaving in a way that is aggressive or inappropriate for what we're attempting to achieve here, then the rest of the group will deal with them. We're not having people there who are going to be shouting, causing, getting into tussles, and any of that kind of thing. It's not going to be necessary. However, and I don't know how many people are there, it could be a huge amount, it's going to send out a huge message to all those pirates, bandits and usurpers who are operating in the courts as judges, as bailiffs, as solicitors and barristers, as well as the police and, of course, those financial fraudsters, those crooks, those swindlers and cheats who are working as the CEOs of these various, often fake, banks. We stand together, shoulder to shoulder, peacefully, non-compliant resistance. Any discussion or any words that need to be exchanged between the protagonists will be done by those who are there and who have the wherewithal and the necessary experience to deal with the situation as calmly and yet as forcibly as possible. Now, that will so the way things are looking out, it's going to be a very strong group of individuals who are there. Guy Taylor's going to be coming down. We've got Tom himself, who's a force to be reckoned with. There's myself, there's Salon, each of whom have got a lot of experience of dealing with bailiffs and being on the front line of these evictions. So I just want to say, you know, if you're coming on, that's brilliant. You're all welcome. But remember, this is not about creating aggro. It's not going to be a kick-off in that sense. What it is going to show is a group of people, individuals, standing shoulder to shoulder, saying, no, this is enough. This has to stop. This is genocide, and it has to stop now. Now, from experience, and it may not be the case in Tom's situation, but I did face the bailiffs coming in to steal my house on probably half a dozen occasions. And the only time they managed to get the house was when they came, they turned up without notice. And, you know, they forced their way in. So it was, you know, with the assistance of 21 police officers from Nottinghamshire Police Force. Now, anyone who says that conspiracy theories don't exist needs to fucking wind their neck in a bit and consider this. You don't just turn up as a bailiff with 21 coppers in support and who are able to cordon off the local streets unless you've arranged for that to happen. In other words, unless you've got together with others and conspired, planned that strategy. Ipso facto, it was a conspiracy.
So it's going to be a very uplifting occasion, I've no doubt about it, but we need to consider the fallout from that because, as I say, from bitter experience, Nottingham County Court does have a criminal element who will carry on these things, will use might as their bogus right to steal people's houses off them. They'll reduce to low-level criminality in order to steal people's homes. And that's as plain as I can put it. Now, let's just go back. So that's the Great British... that is, in essence, the Great British Mortgage Swindle. The documentary, the likes of which the film world, television and other aspects of the media you've never seen before, because this film has been made by the people. Okay, Michael Benicio and myself are the co-producers, and Michael's been directing some of the shots, but the key point that people need to remember is that a lot of this, and it's all in high definition, has been filmed by those people who were in support at the time of the various evictions and attempted evictions. Often just filming it on their own hand cameras or on mobile phones. Any change that's going to occur in this country is going to be from the people up. There are too many right now statists who will try and persuade others that the only way we can get any remedy is by appealing to those who claim to be in control. Right now, it's clear to everyone that those who are claiming to be in control are in fact working in a criminal capacity. And some of these, you know, the paedophile scandal that's currently shaking Westminster is a clear illustration of this. For an individual who claims to be a citizen of the United Kingdom to claim that he can protest, he can sign a petition, and he can plead with those who are effectively his jailers, in other words, the politicians who just keep the keys to this open prison, as they would have you, someone would say, we're living under. They're palpably not fit for office. They're utterly fake. William Hague, Ian Duncan Smith, any of these cunts, really has no power at all over the individual. And even if they were to have some kind of power, they're clearly not the sort of individuals who would manifest the qualities of leadership that one may go along with. You know, who's consented to be under King David Cameron? Who's consented to be under the Queen? Really? I mean, okay, they'll say, well, here's the birth certificate that proves you're a UK citizen. Here's the fact you've paid these taxes. Here's your driving licence. But it's tenuous. You know, it's, to use the analogy that I used before, it's all a house of cards. It's rocking. Okay, but that house of cards is going to be falling from people at grassroots level pulling out the foundational cards, bring the whole lot down. It might not collapse in one go, but the point is, the film represents this uprising from the ground up of ordinary men and women becoming cognizant of what's going on in terms of the banking fraud and actually doing something about it. And recording it, you know, that's an aspect of it that's going to make the film unique. It's going to be very fast-paced. It's going to contain a lot of information about the mechanics of the mortgage swindle, but it also contains moments of great drama, tension, that, you know, include violence being perpetrated against people. There's a particularly horrific scene of my friend Mike and Elizabeth, his mother, being violently evicted at 5:30 a.m. from their family home in Coventry. When they drag the mother out, the fucking bailiff drags the mother out down the stairs, and you can see the bruising on her backside. And the police stand around and do nothing about it. The film will contain the stories of several key protagonists in this, and I'm one of them. You know, I remember I took on the bank initially over the very same issues that we're talking about here. If the bank was claiming they owed its money, could it verify the debt? Could it prove that I was, in fact, the debtor and not the creditor? So basically, the claim was, the counterclaim against the bank, was that there was no verification of the debt. I didn't believe it had owed me any monies in the first place, because that's not how fractional reserve banking works. It's a matter of fact. They're extending credit. And that's the end of it. Basically, it's as simple as that. But also, there's the key aspect that there was no lawful contract in place. A contract has to have, everything has to be disclosed. You can't leave out terms and conditions and then have them later. And of course, it must be signed by both parties. Now, quite why the banks aren't signing, I don't know. Maybe the book's going to stop with the solicitors, because the banks are taking advice from solicitors. They were clearly not advised that the mortgage deeds were void as a consequence of not being complete at the moment of signing. And the salient point that there was never a lawful agreement in place. It's very interesting. We're at this point now. I think, I really believe that Wednesday could well be that significant, because we get to that point eventually where so many people understand this and are prepared to stand up against the fraudulent claims of the banks. But unless the courts do something about it, it's going to be pitchfork time. You know, it's not going to be a good time to be walking around as a banker. And a lot of those who are operating out of the West Yorkshire enclave, I'm thinking Hedgepost or Halifax as it used to be, the Bradford and Bingley, Skipton Building Society. There's a cadre of them, and they're lying solicitors like Walker Morris, Dryden's Fairfax and Bradford, and Shoesmiths, who are another one that basically lie for and on behalf of the banks in order to steal people's properties. These people are walking a very, very dangerous path, because as more and more others find out what's been going on and their lies become so blatant that even the court can't ignore them, they're going to be facing charges of perverting the course of justice, of fraud upon the court, as well as fraud upon the mortgagor. Whether or not they can see it happening. I use the analogy of the day of it's like these people are on a runaway train, and that runaway train is heading off the cliff. But there's still a few opportunities for them to get off. But to be honest, so many of them are so enamoured and brainwashed and mesmerised by the money system that they refuse to alight at the various stations that the train pulls into. And that's the inevitable conclusion of the same that applies to the judges as well. If they don't wake up to the enormity of the Great British Mortgage Scandal and start to do the right thing, then it's only going to end in catastrophe.
And David Caress, the criminal bailiff at Nottingham County Court, is a man who you may say is currently stoking the engine of that train. He's putting more and more coal onto the steam and into the engine as it gathers momentum and heads towards the cliffs. Now for him, that fall from the cliff will be a very, very personal experience. He claims he's retiring this year. I'm not so sure what his retirement will be like. Solon suggested that he may well be retiring to a prison cell. I'm not joking here. The time for joking is gone. David Caress is a criminal and he needs arresting. For and on behalf of the people of Nottingham. God knows we've got enough evidence of his crimes. First-hand testimony, video evidence, and of course, forensic evidence through the fraudulent possession warrants that the court are issuing. But it all falls down, as you can see, by the fact that the mortgage is void ab initio from the very, very beginning. So to get back to the what we're planning to do, right, is we are holding on the 17th of August in a place some 7 miles northeast of Nottingham what we're terming a test screening of the Great British Mortgage Swindle. Now it's anticipated that first screening will be between 2 and 2.5 hours in length. So what we're going to do is we're going to offer a seat. You can book a place for the 17th of August for the test screening and the accompanying Bankster Busters special conference, which we're holding in Nottingham. You can book your place by making a gift of £10. It's a non-taxable event, and that gift will give you the opportunity to come along and join 249 other people in a very pleasant surrounding, and watch the film, be the first people in the country to see the film, okay? We'll be asking for people to record their reactions to it, because it is a test screening, so we want audience feedback. And after that, we'll have a bit of lunch, and then after that, in the afternoon, we're going to be holding this Bankster Busters conference. Now, that conference will provide practical mortgage remedies to deny county court jurisdiction and show the individuals how to handle any fraudulent possession claim that may be made against them. We're talking about here, there's a number of approaches people can take. They can completely deny the court jurisdiction and join it by refusing to accept any of its documentation and refusing to take service and delivery of any of the bank's claim forms. Okay, because you can't go into the court until the service has been effected. That just stands to reason. That's a key aspect of due process of the law. For those that are more confident,
And I wouldn't necessarily, I personally, looking back, would I can understand people wanting to go and take it on. You know, if a man's under attack, he's got the right to defend himself. But those that are of that ilk, they will be given advice and information and templates on counterclaims that they can make in the court and courses of action that they can take in the courtroom, if not beforehand, but also in the hearing itself. A lot of the time, it's good to settle these issues out of the court before you go in. So one of the first things that a man can do is to actually question the judge. So if a man goes into a possession hearing, he can question the judge, because the Great British Mortgage Swindle stems from the gross professional negligence of the conveyancing solicitors. And you'll find an awful lot of county court judges used to work as conveyancing solicitors. No man can be a judge in his own cause. So the individual who goes into court, or he can do it by the paperwork before he goes in, should ask whoever the judge is. He's got every right to know who is the man behind that role, the role of judge. He has every right to ask him in order to see whether or not he's going to get a fair hearing, if that man has ever acted as a conveyancing solicitor. If the judge refuses to answer that question, then he needs to be pressed. The hearing can't go ahead if you don't know what the interests are of the man who's presiding as judge. And if he's worked as a conveyancing solicitor in the Great British Mortgage Swindle, he's immediately compromised. That's an inherent conflict of interest, and he must be recused. If you ask a judge to recuse himself, that means you ask him to stand down. The conflict of interest renders him incapable of listening, of presiding over the matter. And that is a huge spanner in the works. Because who are they going to get to replace him? So immediately, you know, you'd ask for an adjournment on those grounds. You need to remember, you've got the right to act. If this man is claiming to be acting as a judge, you've got the right to know who the man is behind the mask. And the hearing cannot go ahead without him answering that question. Now, that sounds very simple and straightforward. Exactly. That's how it is. It's a tactic. Both of those tactics, whether you're returning mail, refuse for cause, addressee not recognised, return to sender, or whether you're going into court, or before you go into court, you're asking this question of the presiding judge, you're doing what the Luddites did. You're breaking the machine. You're breaking the system. That's why the machine breakers are going to be... it's a wonderful marriage between the producers of the Great British Mortgage Swindle and those that made that song, the Machine Breakers, "The Land Is Stolen." Because whether or not they knew it at the time, I think it was written a number of years ago, it fits perfectly with the mood, with the content, and with the passion that is oozing from every aspect of this film. And you know, I know I'm the co-producer, but I need to express once again just how unique it is for the two producers to feature in the film as not only protagonists but also, you know, key players on a number of different levels. You know, in terms of courtroom action, both of us went into court never having trained as litigants, never had any legal training at all. You know, a lot of it's been learnt on the hoof, as it were. So for us to be in that, you know, but it's you know, we're overseeing it, if you like, as the producers of a film that's been effectively, the majority of it has been made by the people. That's the beauty of it. It's truly grassroots. It's the people up. It's stuff uploads from mobile phones. And if you look at some of the situations, you see exactly how effective that peaceful approach is. That peaceful approach will be adopted on Wednesday. There's no doubt about it. I'd recommend people get there a bit early if they're wanting to support Tom. I know that the bearers turn, particularly the bearers will turn up usually an hour or so beforehand with the locksmiths, and they'll park around the corner. So if you're coming along, then great, brilliant. If you're interested in coming to the special, you know, showing your appreciation of the work of Michael Odera and Michael and Benicio at the special Bankster Busters conference, which incorporates the test screening of the Great British Mortgage Swindle. If you'd like to come along and show your appreciation of the work that's been going on for 5 years now, and much of it has been undersold or it's been done quietly in the background, there's a lot of footage that's going to be in the film that people won't have seen before. It's not been put on YouTube. We've been amassing it. And it's been quite, it started off as the Mortgage Chronicles, and what we were doing right from July 09 was to just basically chronicle what was happening, what had happened, what was happening at various points with the courts, with the claims of the banks. And the Mortgage Chronicles weaves together a number of individual stories, but we're all united in the one cause, and that is to expose the British Mortgage, the Great British Mortgage Scandal, and to achieve remedy. This has gone on for too long. This attempt on Tom has got to stop. It's the latest manifestation of that. But 5 years on, it would appear that we've reached, I'll say this advisedly, we've reached a point of perhaps near that we're getting near the tipping point, and Wednesday will be a manifestation of that. The event on the Bankster Busters Conference and test screening on the 17th, is on Sunday the 17th of August. I'm going to provide an email address. If people wish to come along to that and show their appreciation by making a gift of £10, then that's how it is. We've got 250 places. It's limited to 250. So, it's a case of first come, first served. And I think there's going to be an awful lot of interest in this. Because, as I say, we're meeting that. We've come to that point where there's a tipping point. It becomes completely unsustainable for the banks and their friends in the courts to continue behaving as they are doing in the face of this mass resistance. I've always believed it right from the start that any change, any real change that comes in society comes from the people up. Anything that's delivered from above is usually phony, and in today's age, often funded by the Soros Foundation or whoever. Shit that's sponsored by these non-governmental organisations. They were utterly fake, phony, bogus entities who were trying to inflict their view, their take on things from the controller's perspective.
See, any judge that's presiding in the High Court needs to be asked if he understands how mortgages work. Your Honour, do you understand the monetary mechanics behind the creation of a valid mortgage? Well, yes. If he says that, then say, ask him if he's aware of the security that goes with it. And ask him which notes get sold and who is holding the mortgage now. Ask him about the pooling agreement of the mortgage-backed securities. If he's ignorant of all that, he's in no fit state to preside over the matter. If he doesn't get it, you then file for a motion of discovery, a security audit. Where's the security gone? Who's the holder of the security? What I'm saying, put it most succinctly, is they are fucked. Whether you look at it from a statutory angle, from a common law angle, from a point of morality, from the genocide angle, their days are coming to an end. It's unsustainable. It's all fake. It's all phony. It's all utter baloney. But the reality is, right now, a man is facing eviction from his family home for 26 years. And that is not going to happen. Why is it not going to happen? Because the people united state clearly that no, we say it's not going to happen. I'm looking forward to meeting you. If you're coming on Wednesday, that's great. It'll be nice to link up with you to make your acquaintance. And if anyone's able to offer me a lift up to West Yorkshire afterwards, then please let me know. Because I'm seeking a lift back to Dara via the M1 and the M62. Right, now before I finish off today's roadcast, there's a couple of points that I'd almost forgotten to mention. The first one is that the Great British Mortgage Swindle, the shockumentary, is currently in edit. We're in the editing process. Now, I'm asking for a bit of help here from the listeners, okay? And it doesn't matter how little you're able to contribute, it will all be put to good use. First of all, the thing that occurs to me is this. I need to get up to Newcastle from West Yorkshire
on around the 6th of August for a number of days in order to help out with the final edit of the film itself. I need to be physically there in order for Michael and myself to work on that last bit. Unfortunately, right now, I am short of cash. And the rail ticket is £61.90. I need an off-peak, open-return rail ticket to Newcastle. So I'm asking listeners, and as always, if there's anyone out there who is willing and would like to show their appreciation of the work and contribute in whatever way they think's appropriate, then please send me a donation via PayPal. It's particularly imperative that I receive some this time, because I am struggling, as it were, to get things on account of my lack of promissory notes, Bank of England promissory notes. So if you'd like to contribute, then you can do that via the donation button on the website, and that'd be absolutely brilliant to be able to cover that cost. Another thing that occurs to me, having just played back the first part of the podcast, is the need for a decent microphone. I'm aware that this is the one I'm using right now is a cheap £7 headset with a built-in microphone from Wilco's, and it's nowhere near the quality that I would like to be using in order to put out better quality roadcasts. And the background hissing was causing my computer's overheating a bit. So with a snowball, I'm looking at the snowball microphone. I think they're about £60 as well. If anyone wishes to make a donation for that, then that donation will be received and put towards the purchase of a high-tech microphone that will improve immeasurably the technical quality of these podcasts. So that's where we're at. It's been an absolute pleasure. If you're going to be coming along on Wednesday, then please make yourself known to me. I'll be the tall, handsome one with the silvery hair tied in a knot. And as always, it's been a pleasure, and I'd just like to leave you with the one thought that we are the people individually, and we are going to be the ones to effect the change that we are beginning to see right now, and that is to bring to a halt each and every eviction that takes place as a consequence of the fraudulent, genocidal banking practices of that cadre of criminals, in this case, who are particularly operating out of West Yorkshire. I want to leave you with the full version of the seminal track by the Machine Breakers, which is entitled The Land Is Stolen. And if this doesn't grip you by the heart and inspire you to come out on Wednesday, then maybe there's something wrong with your heart. Anyway, as I say, it's been a pleasure. The sun's shining. It's warm. It's going to be a great day on Wednesday. It's going to be calm, peaceful and focused. And we will achieve that which we're setting out to do. End the genocide. Stop the evictions now. Cheers.
Taken what no man should own by birth. The land was stolen, fenced off and gated. Now our lords and ladies hunt their favorite game and run hard. No, the German mercenary will slit throats for the king that pays his penny. And don't pray. The future holds the answer, for the land was stolen. The land is